Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Scripture lessons are from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25, Psalm 23, and the Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. The message title is, Hear the Voice of the Shepherd. From the sacred scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here ends the reading from Peter. Psalm 23, the words from the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. And this is Jesus teaching. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf then attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer. Imagine yourself sitting in the cool of the night, wrapping your skin overcoat tightly around you as the sun sets, and great constellations of the expansive sky take over the scene above. The brightest stars are soon joined by many others as the last reaches of the setting sun fall off the horizon and into the nighttime. As the nighttime sky takes over, a wisp of cloud glows here and a wisp of cloud glows there. They're adding depth and texture to the night as that great expanse reaches deeper and deeper into the nethers of what your eyes can see. Lost in that moment, transfixed by that great expanse, your eyes and your thoughts, and they start swirling around, the thoughts from earlier in the day. The words flow, for you pass the time when you're out there playing with words, and in your mind occasionally, joyous playing the harp also as you try to figure out different combinations of words and sounds and tones and melodies as you pass the time watching your father's flocks. Flocks that need constant eye, and yet keeping that constant eye is difficult at times. Watchful, but ever watchful, is your task, as bears and lions do like the tastiness of lambs when they can snatch one away from the flock, ever ready with the staff and the sling, with a stone handy too, to send a missile at the predator in a flinging flash with deadly accuracy. Words come. The Lord is my shepherd. As a shepherd watching his sheep, the depth of the meaning flows from the soul as it penetrates the soul. It flows from the soul. As I care for my sheep, how much more does the Lord care for me? Such as me. Such an expression of faith. Yahweh, my shepherd. The living God, my shepherd. The creator of all this, of all living things, my shepherd. The one and only true God, the living God. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will be taken care of. Such words flowing from to prepare also the heart of David for the many hardships that will come. Rest in the shepherd's care. Rest in the care of the living God. As David composes each verse, the depth of the living God's care for him, for us, is expressed in more and more words. Green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness. Watched over, protected in the valley of shadow of death. With the rod and the staff, they're nearby to comfort me. Then those expressive words of incredibly great generosity. A table is prepared. A head, my head anointed. My cup runneth over. So good. So good is the Lord God. My cup runneth over. With the heart coming to the affirmation, that surety of conclusion. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of Yahweh. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. With the final conclusion being, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. There is a reason these words bring great comfort. Such great comfort. Words that reach deep, deep into the soul. The affirming goodness and mercy are there in your life. All the days, goodness and mercy are there. The Lord's house will be your forever place. The everyday sights and sounds and smells of shepherds and flocks were all over the place. They were everywhere in Israel. It's one of the most common sights of life. Like the common sight of life, like oil lamps. I mean, there were oil lamps in every home, and there were sheep on the hillsides with shepherds leading them from grazing to water to grazing to safety at night. These are natural images of shepherds and sheep in the sacred scriptures. And these images are used to illustrate the Lord God in relationship to us. The behavior and the relationship there, our behavior, and the Lord's goodness and loving care. Peter echoes Isaiah 53 when he writes this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. That's the King James Version of 1 Peter 2, verse 25. I mean, we are sheep going astray, and now we've returned to the shepherd and overseer of our soul, is another way to translate that. And that's echoing Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter chapter 2, that Greek word translated as gone astray, it means to, go astray, but it also means to wander off course, deviate from the correct path, roaming into error. And you know, from this comes the English term planet. The word planet, it simply means wandering body. But for us, it nearly always means, in this usage in the New Testament, nearly always means wandering into sin. Wandering away into sin. I mean, one would think that railroad tracks would keep one on course, yet even trains derail, with great catastrophe following. By nature, the effect of the fall of humanity. We wander. We're prone to wander, to go astray. In other words, we sin. John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. John chapter 10, verse 1 begins like this. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. It begins with the Lord Jesus Christ speaking with that doubling, that doublet, amen, amen. And when amen, amen comes at the beginning of a statement, you've heard it before, but it's good to always remind each of us. When amen, amen comes at the beginning of a statement, it means pay very close attention to what follows. For what follows whiz is the absolute truth. Amen, amen. The truth, this truth contrasts the one entering the door and the one who enters in by stealth, by sneaking in, is a thief and a robber. Thief, it means stealth in his means. And robber means plunders and pillages, an unscrupulous marauder, exploiting the vulnerable. And we'll use violence. We'll use violence without hesitation. The truth laid out here is huge. A day and night difference. A day and night difference between the one who enters in through the gate and the one who enters in by another way. The truth here is huge. John chapter 10, verse 2. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who enters in by stealth, contrast that. One who enters in by stealth. I ask you, why are schools setting up gender-affirming clothes closets where students can come to school, change clothes, have access to makeup, binders, and any other things they need to the gender of their choice, all without the parents' knowledge? That's stealth. These are also known as coming out in style closets. A parent in one particular school district, very involved in that school district, was still blindsided by what was happening in his daughter's first grade class. Why is this stealth happening, undercutting parents? I can give you the references to the specifics of this if you like. Just see me. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 3 now. The watchman opens the gate for him. That's the shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd is welcomed by the doorkeeper. And the shepherd is the proper one to enter in. And notice the action of the shepherd. He calls them. Calls them how? By name. The shepherd leads them out. And the sheep follow. Leads. The Greek word puts the emphasis. Leads. It puts the emphasis on the personal meaning attached to the particular destination. Intentionality is present as the shepherd leads out, calling his sheep by name. All of his own by name. There's that relationship there, the intentionality, the purpose is there. The sheep follow, accompanying the shepherd for one particular reason. They know his voice. They know his voice. They recognize the voice as the one they belong to and recognize and really know this voice, knowing that this is the one that watches over me. This is the one that cares for me. John chapter 10, verse 5. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Society is increasing in secularization and is growing in active animosity to the Christian faith. Anything can go, but the Christian speaking the truth about human nature and the reality of the Lord's ordering of creation, that's not allowed. Recall, remember, dust off those shelves in your memory closet. Remember the Luther leagues of the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. Remember how big they were and how involved they were. The Luther leagues, the tremendous sides. And remember the Christian ethos, the ethics of the Christian faith. Even though a person wasn't a believer or was a believer, not a believer, the ethos, the ethics of the Christian faith permeated all of the culture. Wednesday night was church night. Sunday was church day. Remember all those things. Permeated the culture. Remember how good and kind those days were. And the people, respectful of each other. And how teachers, they would have 30 and possibly 40 children in a classroom with minimal to no discipline problems. And the kids, what was the focus? ABCs, math and history. When ACT and SAT scores actually had meaning. Do you remember those days? Now compare it to Chicago downtown being vandalized and marauded by teenagers. And their behavior being excused by the mayor-elect of Chicago. What has happened? As a whole, the voice of the shepherd is not recognized. And the voice of the stranger, the voice of the thief and the robber, that's the voice that's being followed. Even when the name Christian is attached to Christian summer camp, or Christian college, or Christian university, or a publication with Christian in the title, you can't be sure they're Christian anymore. More and more, these places and these people leading these organizations are following the winds and the whims of these days instead of standing firm in the faith. And all this was warned about in Scripture. This was warned about. Jude, go to the book of Jude, beginning at Jude 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already knew all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. As the Lord Jesus Christ continues with another Amen, Amen in John chapter 10, with him being the gate for the sheep, the contrast between him and the thief and robber, is shown to an even greater extent. John 10 Verse 10, again, this is Jesus speaking the absolute truth. Amen, amen. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Compare that to the Lord Jesus Christ who comes to give life. For we to have life to the fullness. And the contrast is even greater in the Greek. The contrast is greater in the Greek. Steal, that means to take, steal secretly by stealth. Kill, it means to sacrifice. It means to offer a sacrifice, to kill as a sacrifice on an altar. That's the meaning of the Greek word translated as kill. And this word kill includes the aspect of kill as offering something as a spiritual sacrifice. And the word destroy, it means to utterly destroy. Utterly, fully destroy, implying absolute and permanent destruction. Utterly perish by coming to a miserable end. You see the difference, the great contrast. Again, the word may is found in this verse 10 of John 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That word may is not in the Greek. It's not in the Greek. The Greek, it's translated as may have, but it really means to have, to hold. You possess it. No iffiness of that. Well, you may have it. No, you possess it. It is yours. You have life. You have life in Christ. No iffiness. So you hold it. You have it. You hold it. You possess it. The Jesus, the Lord, and Christ has come. That you have life. You possess life. You hold on to this life. And this life in Christ is to the full. The Greek word means, the word full, more, greater, excessive, abundant, exceedingly. Really, it means there's so much more life that you can't even imagine it or expect it. More than you can anticipate. There is so much more life. More life. As compared to thief, steal, kill, destroy. Christ the Lord Jesus has come to give us life, everlasting life, for you are saved in Christ and Christ alone. Now, there's no promise of an easy life here. No promise of an easy time during your earthly life. But a great promise of peace and joy during these days, no matter what happens. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and following. You're familiar with these. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That always and rejoice and all that doesn't mean, well, it's going good, I'll rejoice. Going bad, I won't rejoice, I'll grumble. No, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can we say that about today's culture, though? Whatever's admirable, praiseworthy, lovely, pure, right, noble, is the culture thinking of these things? No. More in Philippians chapter 4, now beginning at verse 11. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. In other words, I can live life through Him because Christ gives me strength. It's really not about achieving that goal like you see those motivational posters. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. No, it's about living the ordinary days of life, whether in plenty or in want. All these days, I can get through them and know peace because He gives me the strength to live because I live in Christ. I jumped over a verse, verse 9, and this is Philippians 4, verse 9. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Put these things into the practice. Why listen? Why put these things into the practice? This is why. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Jesus telling us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for us. The thief, the robber, wants to destroy us. The good shepherd desires and does save us. What a huge contrast. The thief wants to utterly destroy us. The good shepherd desires and does save us. The voice of the thief. The voice of the thief is growing more and more these days. And the youth and the children are the most vulnerable to the voice's temptations and wiles. The voice saying you'll be happier, you'll have more followers on social media, you'll be famous, make money as an influencer, get endorsements. These are trickeries and are increasing as technology increases. and as AI makes larger footprints into daily life. Adults are adding the word affirming to the word care, but it does not and will not ever make it good, no matter how positive it sounds. Affirming care sounds positive. It is not. It is evil. It is the voice of Moloch calling loudly. The youth and children are being sacrificed, and it is evil. Adults are the ones that are facilitating this, and they are the ones that are pushing these things onto the most vulnerable souls. I want to be clear here. The children are not evil. What's being pushed onto them is the evil. Speak the truth of Christ to these things. Affirming care, it is not. It is evil, and it's the call and voice of Moloch. And if you don't remember who Moloch is, it's the god of child sacrifice written about in the scriptures. Christ was crucified. Christ was died. Christ was buried to bring redeeming grace and salvation. Christ rose from the dead to give us life. To all who hear him calling, help people hear the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd. For Christ, the Good Shepherd, is calling for them to follow him, to turn from the voices of this generation that are deceiving and destroying. And you raise up your voice and call out what is evil that is permeating as the thief in this culture. So people will hear Christ and heed the warning of Christ here in John chapter 10. Call out this evil. You call it out. And for those who are hurting, those that are confused about who they are, they're not evil. They're fallen sinners, fallen to the wiles and tempter of the voice that's calling in this generation. They need to hear about the wonderful, merciful Savior. And you be the one that shows them the what their hearts are truly longing for, which is Christ. Christ. And the hope that Christ brings, the hope that only Christ can give. For Christ Jesus redeems, Christ forgives, Christ saves the soul. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Jesus is the one who truly loves. The voice of this culture does not love. Only Christ truly loves. Only Christ is the one who is compassionate and kind-hearted and truly gives us life in his name. Psalm 23, beginning of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Heed the voice of the shepherd. Get to know the voice of the shepherd so well that the voice of this culture, you recognize it as it was, as it is. The voice of evil, the voice of Moloch, the voice of devil. Why is Boston hosting a convention of Satanists? Recognize these things. Speak out. So the most vulnerable can hear about the wonderful, merciful Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Shepherd is the one who only one, the living God is the only one who truly, truly, truly loves you. And the one, Jesus the Christ, was given to save your soul out of love. out of love for you. So turn to the merciful Savior, experience His great compassion, and then also reach out and help the most vulnerable of these generations, the youth and the children, learn of Jesus' wonderful mercy too. For that's what their hearts are longing for, the love that Christ, only Christ, can give. Hear the voice of the shepherd and see that a child hears it too. Amen and amen.